Good morning. Oh, it's good to be in God's house. It is so good to be here. I would rather be here than anywhere else. I wish we could come to church 7 days a week. Man, that'd be great, wouldn't it? So, of course, you'd have to look at me 7 days a week. I don't know if some folks could handle that or not. There was a running joke in my family that when I was born, they said, the doctor told my parents, you have such a wonderful treasure. And my folks said, yep, we're going to find a deserted island. We're going to bury him on it. So, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. Today, this message is entitled, Being Bold in the Face of Fear. And those that are able, please stand as I read from God's Word. But Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. And now, Lord, take note of their threats, and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. While you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask and pray that right now, God, as we get our hearts before you, that we will empty our hearts of everything that's going on in our lives, that's going on around us. And we just ask you, God, to fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask, God, for your Holy Spirit to grow within us, to stretch us to where we will push for new boundaries, that we won't have any boundaries, but we will push beyond boundaries, dear God, so we can grow. Make us to be the kind of bold Christians that witness to every person on the face of this earth without any fear, without holding back. And now, God, as I preach this message, let every word come to you, or let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit as I preach, and we ask it in Jesus' holy name, and we love you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'll begin with a funny little story that I heard about boldness. There is a pastor, a Baptist pastor, had been out on the ocean, and his boat started to sink, and the only thing he could do was flip that boat over and lay on top of it to stay afloat out in the ocean's waters. He was tired and weary. And after he'd been floating out there in the sunlight a while, he noticed there was a shark coming up behind him. And he tried to paddle with his feet as quick as he could, and the shark got right up behind him. And he had been afraid. He was scared to death of that big old shark. And finally, the pastor stopped kicking. He held his hand up in front of the shark and says, "Halt!" And the shark stopped. And the Baptist pastor, he witnessed to that shark, and that shark got saved. And then that pastor went, "Whew, wow." And then all of a sudden, that shark opened up his mouth and was going to eat the pastor. And the pastor says, "Wait, hold on, what are you doing?" He says, "You're a Christian now. Don't you remember what just happened?" And the shark said, "Lord, thank you for this meal that I'm about to receive." So, you have to have boldness in the face of fear. It is a decision to obey God despite the circumstances. The early church had faced threats and persecution, yet they did not pray for comfort or escape, But what the early church prayed for was to be bolder, to have a greater boldness inside of them. Now we know that boldness comes from knowing whom we serve. I know in who I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep me. So with that, we know that who we serve is Jesus Christ, the mighty Son of God. In Acts 4:13, let me go over and read that real quick. It says, "Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus." So, Peter and John, they did not go to seminary. They did not go to a prestigious college. They didn't go to Harvard or Yale or anything like that. They didn't have a social status in the community. They weren't what we would call brain surgeons. Down in Arkansas, we say, if you're from Arkansas, you're not a brain surgeon. But these two men, what they had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And because of that relationship, they had a boldness working inside of them, and they knew no fear. We know that in Peter and John's ministry, they went outside of their comfort zone every single time. I mean, they had been arrested, they had been beaten, they had been threatened with their lives, and Peter and John would say, "We cannot be quiet." Because what the Lord was doing inside of their life, see, and it's the Holy Spirit that gives them the boldness, and that's what we have to look at. We cannot look at ourselves and say, "Oh, well, because of who I am, I could do that. I could go witness." It ain't by your works that you're able to do what you do. I could not stand in this pulpit and preach a message without the Holy Spirit of God giving me the words, because I'll tell you what, family, I have studied the sermons, and I have sat there sometimes going, "Well, Lord, I don't know what to say here. What am I going to say?" I have been there many countless times, and as soon as I've gotten in the pulpit, here come the words, because number one, as Christian people, as Peter and John did, we have to yield our lives to Christ. We have to come to a point and we have to say, "I die to myself so that I can live for You, Lord," which means I'm getting rid of my worldly desires. I'm getting rid of what I want so that there's all kinds of room for You to pour into me exactly what I need so that I can be an effective witness, that I can do ministry without backing down. Time that is spent with Christ produces courage for Jesus. That simply means, and I've preached this, you have to spend time in the Word. You've got to spend time in prayer. You cannot just say, "Well, I'm a Christian, I'm going to go out and witness to somebody," because you're going to start talking off the top of your head, and people are going to look at you like your bricks aren't laid straight. But let me tell you this, when you go out under the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, because you have had effective prayer time and study time, when the Word goes out of you, people that are lost, they will see it in you, and they will be taken captive in their heart by the words they're hearing. And when that Word goes forth out of you, it goes forward in might and it produces results. So what you're doing is you're planting a seed. And, well, We plant the seed, and then God waters the seed. God takes care of that seed, and He makes sure that it grows. But here's the thing. When you go witness to somebody, you can't stand there acting like you're trying to, you know, ask somebody out on a date, and you're all shy and bashful, and you don't know what to say. Now, I've been there. When I went to ask out Janine, I don't know how many times I couldn't get the words out because I was so afraid. And then finally, one evening, she fixed us some dinner, and I was over there. And finally, you know what? I just had to say, I got to get over this fear. I was afraid that she was going to reject me. I was afraid if I asked her out, she'd say, you're not that good looking, or you're whatever. But here's the thing. I finally got the boldness that evening that before I left, I said, would you like to go out with me sometime? And she said, I thought you'd never ask. So, see, I had all this stuff going on in my head, and I wouldn't take a step forward because I was too afraid of what was going to be said. These were ideologies, things going on in my own mind. So when the Lord is wanting us to witness to other people, here's what we do a lot of the time. Well, I can't go witness to that person. They'll never listen to me. They'll reject me. They'll cuss me out. They might try to beat me up. They might threaten my life. So I think, you know, or I don't have the words to say. I don't think I'm that great of a witness. See, there's so many excuses out there, and nothing will happen until we get the courage and the boldness through the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to take that step forward. Because you remember, when the anointing is upon you, people will see it and they will know it. Now, if I tried to preach these messages without the authority and the boldness of the Holy Spirit, I would fall flat on my face. And I tell you what, I've been in the pulpit like that before, where I did not pray enough, where I wasn't ready, and I fell flat on my face, and people did look at me like my bricks weren't laid straight. Now, here's some scriptures that support that. Hebrews 4:16 tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace. That means when you're getting before God in prayer to ask Him something, you don't go before God and say, oh, well, Lord, it's me. Oh, Lord, if you're able. Oh, Lord, you know, we kind of get into a place where we start to sound like beggars before God. The Bible is telling us to come boldly before the throne. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to make it possible for us to approach the throne of God to where we could pray and talk to the Father. And the Father is waiting for us to come to Him many times throughout the day. But you know what we do? Well, I'm too busy doing this. Well, I've got lunch with so-and-so. Well, I got to go get my hair done. Well, I got to go wash the car. Well, I need to go to the store and buy some clothes. Well, I got to go buy makeup or deodorant or something. We always make some kind of excuse. But the Lord wants us to come boldly before the throne to spend time in prayer. And I'll tell you this, the more time that you spend on your knees, you will be able to stand on your two feet with the Lord in front of you, protecting you when times get tough. You might feel like your legs are going to buckle, but the Lord will be there to uphold the ones who are righteous. He will uphold the ones who stand in His strength. And where God guides you, God will provide for you. And 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of fear. He's given us love and a sound mind. God did not give you a spirit of fear. So where does fear come from? The enemy. It comes from the pits of hell. Now, if you are a child of God, does fear belong in your life? Absolutely not. Now, I've told you this. When I've gone into churches and preached, I had people come up to me. Now, you better be careful what you preach here, because so-and-so ain't going to like it if you say, you know, I don't care. I said, I'm not here to put my arm around so-and-so's shoulder and make buddies with them. I said, I'm here to preach the word of the Lord, and I have to answer to God. I don't answer to people in judgment. I have to answer to God. So if I'm not walking rightly, then the Lord's going to have to deal with me. Well, so we've got to cast aside fear in our life. We can't be afraid of what others are going to say or how others are going to react. They may not receive us as first, but when we go to witness to people, and if they get mad and walk away, I'll tell you this, you keep praying for them and you keep loving them and you watch God do a work in their life, because I've seen people come to Christ and I've seen God bond people together in a friendship, and I've seen people grow. That's why that when I got saved, and there were people who have been involved in my life that were witnesses to me for so many years, that God bonded me with these relationships. And one of those relationships has got ties to this church that I found out 2 weeks ago on a Sunday night. So see, there are things that happen when the Lord is allowed to work in our life. And then Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Well, we shouldn't fear anybody. I remember a time when I wanted to go witness to somebody, and this person's child said, absolutely not. She won't listen to you. She is mean. She is this. She is that. And you know what some Christians would do? Well, I better not go then. I might get my lunch eaten. Or I might get a piece of my hide chewed out. And then some people wouldn't even go. And I said, well, you know what? It doesn't matter. I said, I'm not going as myself. And so I prayed, Lord, I'm going to go witness to this person. And the Lord said, not today. Not today. So the next day, the Lord said, I want you to go. And I went and witnessed to this person, and this person got saved. This woman got saved. And Janine went to that funeral, and the young man that worked at that nursing home said, I don't know who the pastor was, but thank God he went and witnessed to her, because she's in heaven today. We don't ever move because we're too afraid. It's time that we tell fear to get out. Fear should not even exist within our life. Man, I remember when I first became a Christian and I got into the Word and I was learning how to witness. I'm serious. I would see people and I would just walk up to them, and this was out of my comfort zone, big time. Because I told you, I used to avoid people at all costs because I didn't like nobody. Well, I would go up to people and I would just start having a conversation with them. And I wouldn't walk up to them and say, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell. I wouldn't do it like that. I would approach them in love. See, we have to have boldness, but we also have to act out in love with that boldness when we witness to people. So You go up to people and you start sharing with them from your heart. See, you don't ever have to worry about what you're going to say. If the Holy Spirit is moving inside of you, the words will come out of your mouth. And when that situation, there's been so many times that I've witnessed to people in the jails, out on the streets, and right then and there, they prayed, and then I've had people reject me. And I walked away troubled, thinking, how could you reject Jesus Christ? Look what he's done. But then I thought, well, you know what? This is in God's hands now, not mine. But I don't let fear stop me. I remember one time I was going to East St. Louis to preach at 15th Street Baptist Church. And you wouldn't believe the negative flack that I got. And this is what was said to me. Are you crazy? Do you know what kind of neighborhoods are all around that? And I said, you know what? I'm not worried about it. I ain't worried. The Lord is with me and the Lord's going to protect me. That pastor asked me to come. And I'll tell you this, I had more people on those streets that were waving at me as I drove to that church, as I took Ball Avenue exit and then went on down to 15th Street. There were people with guns in their waistband, and I just waved at them and smiled at them. I didn't try to tuck my head so they wouldn't see me. I wanted people to know I was there. But I wasn't there under Jim Cooper's name. I went there under the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And I'll tell you this, I had some of the best fellowship with those people in East St. Louis. And afterward, the pastor introduced me to a couple people that are out there on the street. And these guys come up to me and they shook my hand. And they were just as kind and considerate. See, if we let fear operate in our lives, we will never make a move for Jesus, and we will not be an effective witness for Him. I don't even know if I'm going to get through this whole... If I have to, I'll finish the rest of this next week, because I got a lot of sermon here. Boldness requires obedience to God. In 19 and 20... Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. They had to choose between obeying human authority or obeying God. And you know what their answer was? God comes first. God comes first. I want to say something. As a Christian, we got to stand up for God first. We have to obey God first. I've had people tell me, oh, I've prayed for you and you're not supposed to do that. Really? Well, the Lord hadn't spoke to me about it. Well, I'm just well, why did the Lord speak to you and not me? Now I know there's times that the Lord will. So I've prayed about a lot of things, but I've had people tell me, you don't belong there. You shouldn't go here or there. I've had people tell me, Pastor, you don't belong. And as long as you're a pastor in this church, you better not ever step foot in a bar to go witness. We'll get rid of you. Well, if that's what it is. But you know what I do? I will go where the Lord tells me to go. And when God opens up a door for me to serve Him somewhere, I'm going to step foot in that place and I'm going to serve Him until He moves me on somewhere else. And as your pastor, If anybody ever tells any of you, well, I saw your pastor walking out of a bar, or I saw your pastor walking out of a gambling place, well, you know what? How are they going to hear about Jesus? You're not going to catch me in a bar drinking, and you're not going to catch me in a place called Lucky's or whatever, gambling my money away. I will be in there witnessing to others about Jesus Christ. That's what God called us here. God said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Salt makes food taste good. So if we're the salt of the earth, then we have to take the good news, the good message, to those who need to hear it, and we need to do it effectively. And we need to reach these hearts and these lives. How else will they hear it? See, I don't compromise. I will not compromise with people when God's telling me to do something different. I just won't. And I can't. Because I will stand before God and I will take an account for everything that I've done and didn't do in this life. And I will not be silent when people tell me to not witness or to be quiet. I won't be silent. I will preach this word. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3, they were threatened to be thrown into a fiery furnace if they didn't bow before the golden image. And Nebuchadnezzar, oh, he was so mad because the three of them said, well, you can throw us in there, and either way, we've got the victory, because they knew if they died in the fire, they would be with the Lord. And they also knew that God would protect them and save them, and that made Nebuchadnezzar so stinking mad. Nebuchadnezzar comes up and says, hey, heat that furnace up hotter. I'm going to show these turkeys. And so when they threw them into the fire, Nebuchadnezzar looks in and says, well, didn't we throw three men in there bound? They said, yes, king. He says, well, I see four men in that fire, and they're loose, and they're dancing around. And that's because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took a stand, and they didn't go with the in crowd. That's why the Bible tells you and I to be separate from the world. We are not supposed to be like the people that live in sin and live in the world. They know us by our fruit. They know us by our testimony. They know us by our witness. They will know you by your heart. And I'll tell you this, when they brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of that fiery furnace, not one bit of their clothing was burned. They did not smell like smoke, and not one hair on their head was singed. So this is what I'm telling you. You walk with the Lord, and the Lord, He won't take the fire away, but He will be with you in the fire, and He will protect you in that fire. This is what we have to get a hold of today. I want to share this. We are in a time that there is so much conflict going on in the Middle East. There is so much fighting. I'm telling you, I believe this is prophetic and that it is biblical. And I believe that Jesus is coming back soon. I believe that the rapture of the church, as I preached about last Sunday, it's going to happen. That trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will rise, and those of us remaining will be quickly changed and caught up to meet Him in the air. So what I want to challenge you with right now, Christian and pastor, what have you done this week for the Lord? Who have you witnessed to? Who have you invited to church? Who have you shared your testimony with? Who have you shown love to? Who have you ministered to in some way? Can you think of what, at least one name in this last week? If you can't, I pray, and if I can't think of a name, then I challenge every single one of us to make a grand change and start living what we say we believe. Let's see. I'm going to get to this last point, and then next Sunday I'll finish the last 3 points. Boldness is strengthened through prayer. I believe this is something we really need. Because in verse 31, it says, when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the Word of God with boldness. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. That means pray, pray, pray. It means get on your knees and pray. When you're driving in your car, pray. When you're at work, pray. When you're in the middle of a trial, pray. When you're on the mountaintop, pray. When you're in the valley, pray. Worship. Because when you pray, you are opening yourself up for the Holy Spirit to be poured out. See, the Holy Spirit cannot be released into us when we have a lot of worldly junk going on inside of us. If we have a lot of worldly junk happening, then God can't use us. And you know what's going to happen if we can't be used? We're going to die. We're going to be just like the branch connected to the vine that wasn't getting nurtured. And after a while, that branch gets cut off and thrown into a fire. And you ought to know what I mean by that, what the Bible says about it. If we're not producing good fruit, but if we pray, God will empower us. And here's what's great about prayer. When we pray, God won't move the opposition. And listen to this. God won't move the opposition, but you know what He'll do? What you're faced with, He will give you the power and the boldness and the strength to overcome that opposition. When David went out before Goliath, he didn't go out there and say, hey, I've got this cool slingshot and some 5 stones out of the brook, and I'm going to take your head off with that. David said, you come to me with spear and a sword. There was his opposition at 9 to 12 foot tall, however tall he was. He didn't let that stop him. David had no military training. But he says, I come to you in the name of the Lord. He didn't say, okay, God, take this Philistine giant out of my way. You go ahead and strike him now just so we don't have to have this. God gave him the boldness to step forward and to take a stand, and the giant fell by the power of the living God. In Ephesians 6, 18 through 20, Paul had requested prayer for boldness. You can ask your brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for you to have boldness. And we should pray for one another. And Luke 11, 13, God gives the Holy Spirit to those who will ask. Are you asking? The Bible says you have not because you ask not. We have not because we ask not. Well, God, now here, but it's depend what you ask for. Don't ask God for a 2027 Cadillac, you know, with the finest accessories in it. Don't ask for that. Because God knows your heart's desire. God knows what you'd want to use that Cadillac for, to be seen around the area, to look good. Well, We have to ask with a pure and justified heart for God to give us what we need.